Welcome to the Pioneering Podcast, hosted by students from the American University in Cairo and the Hostos University in the United States. Let me begin by introducing myself. I'm Maryam Uta, and I'm majoring in Integrated Marketing and Communication in the American University in Cairo.
Hi, guys. My name is Sama Abu Said. I'm an architectural engineering student at the American University in Cairo as well.
Hey, guys. My name is Yuri Kadago. I'm currently attending Hostos Community College, and my major is accounting.
In this episode, we're going to tackle one of the most important and critical global issues. As a matter of fact, it is set as the 10th on the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, and that is reduce inequality.
To further specify, we're going to address income inequality and health inequality. These two inequalities are easily noticeable around the world, and as we encounter them, especially in the U.S. and in Egypt. That is being the case, the United Nations regarded the cases and formulated a sustainable development goal called reducing inequality.
Exactly. I read that this goal aims to reduce inequalities within and between countries to end the social grouping stereotypes.
Wow, I'm so excited to hear what the guest speaker has to do regarding this.
So let's start off by introducing the idea of health inequality. As you guys know, we're not living in a perfect world. Whoever pays a ton to get into a private hospital gets the perfect health treatment, unlike most public hospitals in which medical insurance could pay. One of the reasons for America's severe healthcare disparity is that it is the only developed country that relies on private health insurance. As a result, people with employer-sponsored health plans have greater access to care than those without.
Yeah, I also read that around 20% of Americans had little or no health insurance prior to the Affordable Care Act. As a consequence, about 45,000 individuals die each year in the U.S. as a result of their inability to pay for health treatment. This is very disappointing, actually.
Yes, this is disappointing and shocking. I never knew this is applicable in the U.S. I thought the U.S. had more equality and access to health, but apparently injustice is global. We also encounter major problems with health inequalities here in Egypt. Although legally and on paper, the government offers healthcare insurance that could be almost free. But in real life, major imbalances happen in the Egyptian healthcare system.
Yes, just like America. I recently read a primary research paper conducted by Zaki and Advil Mowa in 2011. The paper tackled how health inequalities repercussions are shown by the critical issue in Egypt, most underprivileged area in the Upper Egypt. On the other hand, the most fortunate areas are the urban governorates.
That's actually true. You wouldn't imagine how people's health in rural areas here. They encounter very poor healthcare. In fact, the UNICEF released statistics in 2014 that shows how infant mortality rates vary drastically between urban and rural areas of Egypt, where in rural and Upper Egypt, infant mortality value was evaluated at 42 children per 1,000 live births, which is actually a lot of infants like dying because of poor healthcare. While in urban areas, 20 children per 1,000 live births, which shows how much a difference there is just by the change of place in the same country. Imagine how significant healthcare inequality can be with other aspects considered.
This is actually very vital matter that the whole world encounters. It doesn't matter whether the country is developed, developing, or underdeveloped, because health inequality seems inevitable. However, the silver lining along this inequality hassle is that people from all around the world are starting to acknowledge the prevalence of health inequality in psychology and mental health.
Yes, finally, this started to happen with the help of social media, of course. but no matter what, people are going to debate about the significance of mental health. More importantly, in several countries, the accessibility to therapy is limited, and in several cultures, it has a stigma around it.
Yeah, that's true. Going to a therapist, especially in Egypt, is not easy at all. You have to, like, cover for it if you don't want to be called crazy. But your relatives now... You have to cover for it if you don't want to be called crazy by your relatives. So now we are going to learn more about the subject of matter in the U.S., especially with our guest speaker, who would know best about the topic since she's a therapist. Now, moving on to Yurik and the guest speaker.
Now introducing Barbara Davison, social worker from the James Peters Department of Veterans Affairs Medical Center, Bronx, New York. So, Barbara, what is your line of work?
I am a social worker in the outpatient clinic at the Bronx VA Medical Center. I've been working there for 30 years, hard to believe. And I've come to love veterans. These are people, men and women, who have served in the different branches of the armed forces, Army, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard, who have completed their service with an honorable discharge, and they are entitled to health care benefits.
What are some health care benefits provided by the VA?
Well, they get their primary care benefits. In other words, their annual or twice a year checkups, and their primary care physicians will refer them for whatever they need, whether it's eye checkups, neurology, urology, any kind of physical problem they may have. They may have mental health issues. They may have physical problems with their knees, with their walking, with their shoulder, their rotator cuff, headaches, whatever problems they have. If they had a injury in the service, such as, and they are what they're deemed as service-connected, and they have 100% service-connected, they also get dental care. That's a small number of them, but they will get dental care as well. They get their eyeglasses. It's a very comprehensive service. And what's so nice about the VA is that they have transparency. So their computer chart is available to all the providers who take care of them. And they also get their medications through the VA. And so one doctor can see what the other doctors are providing.
What do you think of the health inequality, and how does it apply to your field?
The health inequality is not a problem here at the VA for veterans. Our Veterans Health Administration is America's largest integrated healthcare system in the country, providing care at 1,293 healthcare facilities, including 171 medical centers, hospitals, in other words, and 1,112 outpatient sites of care varying complexities, in other words, clinics, et cetera. And we serve 9 million enrolled veterans every year. So I think if you're lucky enough to be a veteran of having completed your tour of duty and getting an honorable discharge, you're getting very good treatment. And if there is not a treatment center near you, sometimes you're entitled to get community care and the VA will pay for it. And we serve all who have served. In other words, male, female, LGBT, trans, people of color, black, brown, tan, everybody. You've served, we will serve you.
There are a lot of income inequality in America and around the world. Can you elaborate how the VA might be different?
We're different because it doesn't matter what your income is. Again, if you've served our country, we're going to take care of you. And we will provide you with healthcare service and whatever you need. We recognize that anybody who has offered to put their life on the line and serve our country deserves to get healthcare. That's a big difference from other people. We recognize that our veterans are a great value to us, and we're very grateful for their service.
It seems that because military gets so much funding in America, veterans have a better health system than normal civilians that have to pay for it.
Such an interesting discussion. Thank you, Yurik, and thank you, Dr. Barbara, for bringing up how health inequalities, especially in mental health, can be affected by income inequalities, which leads us to our next segment, focusing more on income inequality.
What I found out is that income inequality is a term used in economics to describe the large disparity in income distribution among individuals, organizations, communities, social classes, and even countries. It's an important part in defining social classes and the segmentation.
Yeah, Mariam, exactly. That's because income is a primary factor of quality of life, affecting the health and well-being of individuals and families. According to an article from Britannica by Howard and Carter in 2020, quality of life varies according to social characteristics, including gender, age, and race, or ethnicity. What do you think?
Unfortunately, income inequality is a significant problem in the USA, and it is increasing as time goes by. The same article Sama mentioned shows statistics that the highest 5% of American families got almost over 24% of total after-tax income in 2010, while the bottom 20% received little over 6%. Since 1979, income inequality has increased in the United States. Between 1979 and 2007, the poorest fifth of the population after-tax income rose by 18%, while the top 1% income increased by 275%.
Looks like Egypt and the U.S. both have income problems. According to Egypt's World Inequality Database, only 1% of the whole Egyptian population receives 19% of the national income, representing the highest earning economic class, while half of the population receives 17.2% of the national revenue, representing the lowest earning class. This demonstrates the severity of Egypt's income inequality problem.
Wow, both of these statistics that you guys mentioned are very shocking. And I believe serious actions need to be taken to reduce the drastic and problematic effects this inequality has on the Egyptian population as well as the American population. But especially for the Egyptian population, I think as we mentioned earlier, the income inequality is very much connected to the health inequality. And it is definitely affecting several other SDG 10 inequalities, such as education and digital inequalities. So what do you guys think?
I think there are actions that needs to be taken to reduce those inequalities. Like in Egypt, in the US, numerous efforts and programs are being implemented to address these problems and inequalities. There's public health care, women's mental health, which also cares for gender equity, and the USAID project that happened during the COVID-19 pandemic, the new universal health insurance system, and Egypt's new social insurance law for health inequalities. And the NHLBI, Global Health Think Tank, Health Insurance Marketplace, and the National Partnership for Action are all located in the United States.
As for income inequalities, there's the GSER program, the IBM Academic Initiative, the Game Changer Fellowship, the Takafo and Karaka program, and the Egyptian
government program. It's in Arabic, so yeah.
the Egyptian government investments in the Upper Egypt, the Sekem program, and more in Egypt. As for the U.S., there are initiatives and governmental programs like the Supplemental Security Income Program, the Welfare and TARF, the Earned Income Tax Credit, and the American Family Plan.
Well, these are very impressive initiatives that are done in both countries for both inequalities. I'm actually very happy with that, and there's definitely so much more to come that should be like done. So in the end, the key takeaway that we've taken from this research is that even if the inequalities are coming from different regions of the world, they have similarities to one another. And according to our discussions throughout this podcast, I believe that for the future health of healthcare and income, we believe that there will be huge changes as we develop advanced technology that will help the communities all around the world to help during health procedures and make them more affordable. Although in today's healthcare system, citizens are struggling with rising costs of procedures and medication, a way to address healthcare and income inequalities and to be a game changer is to allow others gain more access to healthcare, and instead of removing it, by creating benefits like organizations that can help, as we mentioned before, all those organizations and initiatives done in both countries, that could help those who are being denied healthcare, as well as the help of donations to solve the income inequalities as well.
Okay, thank you guys for staying with us. Hope you enjoyed today's episode.